Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast, coming from Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles, and Sacramento, California. Here's Skylar Teo, Aaron Alvarado, and David Stauffer.
Welcome to the Brave Little Podcast. Boys, we are back. And I am joined by Aaron Alvarado in Los Angeles, California.
Hi-yo!
And Skylar Teo in Dallas, Texas. How you guys doing?
Hi-yo!
I've been wanting to record this pod, The Last Jedi, for a long time, but I have been out of the country, but I am back.
Yeah, where were you,
David? It's time for the end of the podcast.
Yes, kill it if you have to. I was in Japan for about 10 days, which is actually where I saw The Last Jedi. I did my kind of my 10-minute non-spoiler initial thoughts right after the movie. I got to see it a day ahead of time because that's how the international dateline works when you cross it. But yeah, it was good. I'm happy to be back. Japan was great. Loved it. We got killer flight deals to go. It was like $400 round trip, which was... I had to jump on that. There was one catch, though.
It's like 20,000 yen, though.
Yeah. It's, well...
20 million.
It's 40,000 yen, actually. That's about the exchange rate. Was probably about... Yeah. No, it would have been about 44,000 yen. Anyway, the catch was this. 3-hour layover in Xiamen, China. That was the catch.
That's rough.
I thought 3 hours wasn't too bad.
I have a genuine question. Genuine question about Japan.
Yeah.
Did they cheer every time Rose Tico was on screen?
Well, I'll say, given the fact that she's not Japanese, no, they did not.
You say she's not Japanese, but do my eyes deceive me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I cheer when Poe Dameron's on the screen and he's Guatemalan, so that's close exactly. enough for me. I mean, we're not going to get anything closer than that, so I cheer for that guy.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Where is Kelly Marie Tran? Where are they from?
The United States.
Yeah, from the United States of America.
I have a hard time placing their accent.
Now, she's Korean.
Yeah. They're Korean.
Who? Rose? Just Kelly the one Marie person? Tran.
Yeah, we don't know her pronoun, so let's not assume.
She is a Tran actor, so we have to be careful with that pronoun.
Oh my gosh, stop. Oh my gosh. I guess.
And for the record, she was born in San Diego.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, there you go. But is she of Korean descent? Is
San
her ethnic?
Diego. So she's like Aaron then.
She's closer to Mexico than Aaron is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Also she's not Korean. Her parents were born in Vietnam.
Dang it! I knew it was Vietnamese. I knew it was Vietnamese.
I don't know any Koreans with the last name Tran.
It's one of those wars we were involved in the 60s and 50s.
That's the thing with these Tran actors.
You white people are the
worst. I can't keep it all straight. I don't know which one to use. Vietnamese, Korean.
Guatemalan, Japanese.
So I cheered every time Donald Gleason was on screen. That was my guy. And he's nowhere near Switzerland.
I mean, he's kind of. It's only like a...
It's a two-hour flight.
Three-hour flight.
A hop and a skip and a jump.
Okay.
I hate that they didn't let him do his Irish accent. Well, I need to put that on my list of five
he
things.
He tried. Oh, he tried.
Oh, it came through.
Did he? His accent was all over the place.
Oh. Of course it was.
We'll talk about it.
I think at one point
we'll
he was doing
his
Revenant accent. He's like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. We will talk about this and get into... just to give people an idea, we're going to break this down in a couple ways, our Last Jedi critique, because... We've all been texting about this since it came out. We have some vastly different takes in this group, which gets me excited to really kind of sink our teeth into this and talk about it. Get into some real film criticism, if you will. But we will start our review. Well, let me back up a little bit and give another reminder here for those listening on the pod. This will be so spoiler heavy you won't even believe it. Okay, we are going to spoil every single thing about this movie. So... I'm going to put that in the title, so you have nobody but yourself to blame if you keep listening after this warning, but we're going to spoil everything about this movie. Anyway, we're each going to go over and give our general take of this film, okay? So I'm going to give each person will have an uninterrupted, three-ish minutes to speak generally about whether they like the movie or not and reasons why. Then we'll break down more specifically scenes and elements and components of this film by giving the things that we liked, maybe five things-ish that we liked and five things that we didn't like, and we'll kind of alternate and go from there. But I think it's important to frame the conversation first and foremost with explaining where our takes kind of where they lie. In addition to that, I think we should give our own little tomato meter number as part of our overall general take here at the front. So whether you liked it or not, what that number is and you know, reasons why you have the take that you have. So should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I think you should go first, though, because we already know what your take is.
What do you mean? Like, what could my take possibly be? I mean, I don't, like, for those did I listening love the movie? To just the did podcast, I hate it? Who knows?
David's now standing up with, and he's showing off his poor tattoo on his chest. And he's making a dance like in that television show, Pete and Pete.
I don't think I'll ever get a tattoo probably in my life. But I'll tell you what, if I was, it would absolutely be a pork. I've been going through, I've been telling you guys this, I've been reading the Art of the Last Jedi book, which is really spectacular. But even more interesting than that is the Star Wars cross-sections book that goes into all the different ships, like Snoke ships, and the size of Snoke ship versus the other Star Destroyers, as well as, you know, the different cruisers, the Ninka, the crate kind of little battle ship things, which is awesome. Also the visual dictionary, the guide to the Last Jedi. Really been sinking my teeth into it. I saw this movie in Japan for the first time. I saw it twice in Japan, and I've seen it three times since I've been home. So for a total of five times, two of those at the Esquire IMAX, one in 3D and one in 2D. I've really wanted to formulate a truly unbiased opinion because as a fanboy of Star Wars, and you guys know, I rated Rogue One as my favorite movie of last year. I rated Force Awakens as my favorite movie the year before. I probably should have a take back on my Rogue One take. I think it was probably a little hot. I think it's probably my third favorite movie of last year, but that's neither here nor there. Just knowing how influenced I can be by my fanboyism, I wanted to see it five times before I settled into a take. And I knew that there was a lot of harsh criticism online, although all audience polls, all anything that's done scientifically shows that this is an overwhelmingly well-received film. Not that that means it's a good movie. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a good movie, but it's been very well-received by the masses. Also critics, very well-received, judging by the fact it's in the 90 percentile of Rotten Tomatoes. And I wanted to be like, no, I'm hearing from some people that there's a bad movie somewhere in here and I need to find it. And so I saw it five times and guys, I'm really sorry to break this to you, but I could not find a bad movie in there. This movie to me is as good as The Empire Strikes Back. This is everything I wanted The Force Awakens to be. I was so floored and excited and elated the first time I saw it that I knew this must be my fanboyism. I knew this must be what it is. I need to see it again to make sure I can really critically evaluate this film. And I took notes in one of my screenings. I stood in the foyer, kind of the side where I could see the screen and watch it and still write stuff on my phone without, you know, getting people upset with the side, you know, the brightness of my screen. And I wrote notes and notes and notes and notes and notes. I wrote down everything I didn't like, everything I did like, and we'll get more into those specifics later. But I can tell you right now that Rian Johnson created a masterpiece of a Star Wars film that was so unexpected in so many ways for me that it gets me really excited about where things go. And we can talk about whether or not that excitement should be tempered because of J.J. Abrams taking on 9, even though I do think he did well on Force Awakens. We'll table that discussion for maybe later in the pod. But I will say, it's not a perfect film. None of them are. I think I was watching Empire Strikes Back recently and A New Hope before that and The Force Awakens. All of them I have quibbles with. All of them. And this is no different. I definitely have some things in this film that I think are like really unnecessary or a little annoying, and we'll get to that later on. But overall, I had pretty high expectations going in. Rian Johnson as a filmmaker truly made something that's going to stand the test of time. And it will be remembered as one of the all-time great Star Wars films. And it belongs in that conversation. And to me, it's probably my second favorite Star Wars film of all time. And it's as good as The Empire Strikes Back, which means with time, I think it will be considered, in my opinion, better. And yeah, so that's my take. And I'm going to move over to Skyler next. And before Skyler launches into his take, we have a comment from Ryan Hamblin. who said Skylar hated it, huh? And I want you to be able to answer that question for yourself, Skylar.
First off, Ryan, if I ever see you, we're going to fight. I'll fight you in the street.
Ryan Johnson?
No, Ryan Hamblin.
Oh, okay.
He knows why. He can't even spell his name right. It's an I, Ryan.
Dumb, dumb. All right, Skylar.
You know what? I went to this movie, and I heard the criticism. I heard what people were saying. I said, you know what? I like subversive movies. I like things that are weird. I like things that are a little outside the norm. Like, my favorite movie this year so far has been Thor Ragnarok. It's a Marvel movie that's different. It takes the superhero chemistry and formula, and it kind of turns it on its head. It mm-hmm. makes fun of it a little bit. I love that. So I was like, okay, yeah, I can get into that. Something that's, oh, it's going to have some fun humor. Interesting. So I went in kind of excited. I was like, yeah, this is going to be right up my alley. And then I saw Princess Leia get shot and blown out of her spaceship. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. They're doing this. At the beginning of the movie, they're going to kill this character. And they're going to, like, have this really drive the rest of the film. And then the movie actually revealed itself as Spinning Tires, the movie. Because whenever something happens in Star Wars The Last Jedi, it doesn't actually happen. It can be taken back. So Leia dies. No, she doesn't actually die. She's back in the ship. She's fine. Oh, they're going off to casino. No, like, that doesn't really matter. Like, ultimately, they'll all be fine. This happens. No, it doesn't really. Because no character actually ever steps forward. I get this is the second movie in a franchise of three, which is an opportunity for them to do a lot of character building and to explore the world they're in. But this movie doesn't exist in any world. Now, I understand that in the original trilogy, there wasn't a ton of world building and explaining what was happening with the Empire, what was happening with the Rebels. But it was the first time we jumped into this world, and so it was all new. Now we're jumping back into this world for the eighth time, and there is no sort of idea of what's going on. In fact, it is such a naked just recreation of what the original trilogy was with this. The very beginning, the first part of the scroll says, the new order reigns. And it's so stupid because not even 24 hours ago, they had their massive ship, their massive weapon destroyed. And now they're reigning supreme. Like, I get that there's novels that can explain this better. But within the realm of this movie and within the realm of The Force Awakens, it doesn't explain this at all. And I get that David will say, oh, you love the prequels. Look, the prequels explain it all too. No, I love a movie being grounded in some sort of reality so I can understand what's happening. And whereas it is now, it's like, okay, look, we have these Empire fanboys. It's essentially people cosplaying as the Empire. And they're cosplaying with their Empire recreations of AT-ATs. And they're cosplaying with the Empire TIE Fighters. And then you have these people cosplaying as the Rebels. And we start with the movie with there being like 4,000 of them, and by the end there's enough to fit on the Falcon, and they push forward none. In fact, everything, like all these interesting things that were introduced in the first movie in Force Awakens, were all shot down, and I get that that's cool to subvert expectations, I enjoy that, but it led us with nothing to look forward to in the next movie, and I swear, if Ryan Hamblin has anything to say about this, I will come and fight him, personally. That's all I got
to
say about it.
Well, he does have one thing to say about it.
Currently changing my name to Ryan. Okay, good. Do that. I respect that. I'm not going to fight you anymore. We're cool.
Okay, thanks, Skylar. Aaron, what'd you think?
Much like Skylar, I went into this movie with some mixed expectations. I'm a huge Ryan Johnson fan and a big Ryan Hamblin fan now because he called Skylar out. I tried to go into this with an empty mind, with no expectations, and I wanted to really just experience this as a true fan, right? Because I do, you know, at my essence, I like these kind of popcorn, tentpole pictures, these blockbusters, because they're fun, right? And that's the whole point of why we watch Star Wars. But this movie just left me so disappointed. At every angle, they just wouldn't commit. They're like Skylar brought up. They couldn't kill off Leia. They couldn't kill off any of the characters. Even at the very end, when we had the opportunity to kill off Rose, she's not dead. They couldn't even commit to that. She was a side character that only existed to go to the casino planet, and they couldn't even commit to that. So, I mean, for me, it's just the only character of consequence that actually died was the General Holdo. Was she a General? Holdo?
Vice Admiral. Vice Admiral.
Laura Dern.
Vice Admiral.
Yeah. Vice Admiral. And she went out in style.
Yeah, and she went out in style. She went out as a kamikaze pilot, which is awesome. She
That should have been Leia.
But yeah. Exactly.
No, shouldn't have been.
100% should have been Leia.
Let Aaron finish his day.
But basically, I just had... I had low expectations. I wanted to enjoy this for what it was. And even with those low expectations, I was disappointed. I went into this as a Rian Johnson fan, and now I am actually questioning whether I like Rian Johnson as a director.
Oh my gosh.
I certainly don't like him as a writer, because this was one of the most poorly written Star Wars movies since the prequels.
Mess.
It's embarrassingly bad. Not just the plot. We're talking about dialogue. The jokes all land flat for me. There wasn't a single joke that landed for me. I knew we were in trouble. 5 minutes into this movie when we get a "your mama" joke from Poe Dameron. It's just mind blowing. I don't know what Rian Johnson was thinking with this dialogue in this movie. Oh, can I just say the biggest cringe moment in the entire?
Wait, get that movie? Get that to your no. Save that for your worst things list.
Okay. I'll just say there's a lot of moments where I actually physically cringed. That's one of the reasons I didn't like this movie whatsoever.
I counted it on my last viewing.
It's cringed 27 really bad.
Times. Oh, stop. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's a low number. I'm probably above that if I have to guess.
I scratched with a nail into my arm every time I cringed, and I had 27 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so again, low expectations. I was disappointed. There are some things that do work in this movie, but for the most part, most of it does not work for me. I was thoroughly disappointed by the movie. I think Rian Johnson could have made a much better movie. I had hoped that he would make a much better movie, and maybe he can't, so... I'm really questioning everything. I have this like sort of existential crisis now where I thought that I liked the director and a writer, but maybe I was wrong. Like maybe I never should have liked him in the first place. Yeah. So now it's kind of thrown my world into upheaval.
Okay.
So yeah, altogether, not a fan of this movie.
Okay.
I have a reply for Ryan Hamblin really quick.
Hot takes are
what
flying.
About Snoke?
Wait, hold on. We're going to get into this stuff. Although I will say that Ryan is saying, you know, what about Snoke? Ryan just killed off one character that people have been fan theorizing.
I think you have to be a character in order to be killed off. And Snoke was never allowed to be a character, so I don't think it really counts.
Oh, okay. See, this is where the prequel thing comes in, and we're going to go at it here, because Emperor Palpatine was literally completely without any backstory whatsoever till we got the prequels. And I realize you're a child of the prequels, you're a product of the prequels, and you love the prequels.
Bro.
But
that's not the case, though. That's literally not the case, because... We're talking about a movie that existed within its... There was one movie at the beginning of the New Hope. It was the only movie that existed. We now have seven movies that took place before Last Jedi. We have six movies that took place before Force Awakens. Where was Snoke? Like, he lived during all that time in the same galaxy far, far away. And it's not explained.
When was Star Wars about exploring every single backstory? We got no Ben Kenobi
backstory.
That's
the whole thing. Did you not see?
We knew very little about Ben Kenobi.
Empire followed every single backstory to its final.
That's ridiculous. Like, the movies have never been that. They have never been that. For you to need a Snoke backstory.
From the beginning. From the scroll.
Oh, gosh.
Episode 4. That has been the entire movie franchise.
I hope the scroll for 9. Like I hope the scroll for 9 is just Snoke's backstory, so you could be satisfied. Like I hope that's all it is,
dude. I wouldn't mind if B-More is right that there's gonna be some sort of Snoke backstory, kind of like the beginning of Return.
I will hate 9. I will hate 9 going. So much if it explains anything about Snoke. I will hate it.
Ooh, I hope you hate 9. Ooh, I want that so bad. I want you to hate 9 like I hate 8.
Okay. Okay. Let's get into this. We're going to each go over one thing that we liked, and then we're going to go over one thing we didn't like, and then one thing we liked, and we're going to go round and round from there. And this will get tangential. I'm going to do my best to control that, but I think we should allow ourselves a little more crosstalk now that we know where we're at. Although I will say, we didn't give our Rotten Tomatoes scores. Let's do that real quick just to know how much we liked or didn't like. Now, do your best to give the sincere number without hot takes. Since I said that it's as good as The Empire Strikes Back, I'm actually going to match the same number on Rotten Tomatoes that it has, which is 94%. I think that's where I'm at. I think that's right. I think with time, that could probably crawl to as high as 98. But right now, I'm about a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Skylar, Aaron, where are you guys at?
I can't give it a fresh score because it's just such a mess, a narrative mess. And so I'm going to give it a 59.
Okay. 59, just below fresh.
I wish.
I mean, I'll go fresh.
I could give it a 69, but a lot.
Nice.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go fresh, and I'll say it's a 65 for me.
Oh, he's going to go fresh. Okay, but barely fresh.
Yeah. Well, Force Awakens is like a 50. Okay, so
you liked it more than The Force Awakens.
Go 69.
This is better than Force
but
Awakens.
But Skylar, is this better than The Force Awakens?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't expect you to say that. Okay, we all agree. We all agree this is better than The Force Awakens. Okay.
I mean, it's way more messy narrative-wise, but The Force Awakens is a movie on training wheels.
Okay.
This at least took the training wheels off. It fell over a bunch. It fell over like the whole movie. But at least it wasn't on training wheels.
Okay. We're getting some great comments here from people. And I'm going to launch into my first thing that I love with a comment from Brenton Brinkerhoff. And Brenton says, laser swords
BB.
In parentheses. And that's going to launch in one thing I loved about it. I loved the laser swords.
Is Brenton related
battle.
To my sister-in-law?
No, I'm kidding. No.
Hey, Brenton, you related to my sister-in-law? Come at me.
Is she a Brinkerhoff?
Yeah, she is.
Then yes. Okay, so.
Maybe.
I'm going to go into we're going to five things that we like. It's tough because I wrote down the minimum number of things I have to mention that I really loved about this, and I came up with like 17 things. So I'm going to try and distill that into five. It's going to be really tough. But character arcs here. This was a film that had some of the most satisfying character arcs in Star Wars movie history. And I'm going to start with I'm going to say character arcs, but also the advancement of characters. So I'm going to go on the complete opposite of what Skylar was saying about how they push none of these characters forward. I think that's total BS. Everything about Kylo and Rey, I loved in this movie. Okay, Kylo Ren is the most interesting new character in the Star Wars universe to me now. I've always been a fan of Kylo Ren. He did get a lot of crap after Force Awakens because it was the whole like kind of emo and it looked dumb when he took off the mask. And at the time, people weren't used to Vader taking off his mask, right? Having that Vader character, we're used to them in the mask. And so for him to take it off and see that he's kind of a young boy in a way, people really didn't like. But we took that foundation and they've moved this character forward. He kills Snoke. He does what Vader couldn't do with Palpatine initially, right? He eventually does. But he does it way earlier than any of us expect in the film. And I think it was, like, that moment right there was certainly the peak of subverting our expectations. Before they even had, you know, I mean, how ballsy is it? Before we have any type of backstory, like, you know, our products of the prequel will call for. Like, we didn't have any of that. He just slices him in half, brings the saber to the screen, and, you know, you get Rey reaching up and catching it, and then we get what I'll talk about later is one of the best lightsaber battles in all of Star Wars. But pushing forward Kylo, but the character arc of Kylo and Rey and what they push forward, I love them introducing the Force connection component. In the old films, we get every, like, from A New Hope, or Star Wars, I should say, to Empire Strikes Back, to Return of the Jedi. In each one, there are Force abilities that we didn't know about until that movie. In this movie, we get that in the form of these Force connections, which I found incredibly compelling. It allowed these people they didn't have to be in the same room to be able to actually build a relationship where they don't necessarily hate each other, but they are heading in completely opposite ends of the, you know, opposite directions when it comes to the Force. Two other quick things, obviously Leia flying in space, and then we had Yoda calling out lightning, a Force ghost actually calling out something in the natural world is something we've never seen in terms of Force ability. I think that's all very, very interesting stuff, but when it comes to the character arcs and pushing forward the narrative of the character, everything with Rey and Poe was fascinating to me. In addition to Luke Skywalker, which this is probably the most controversial of the character arcs and moving forward, people really hated what Rian Johnson had written here for Mark Hamill and Luke Skywalker's character.
Including Mark Hamill.
But what's that?
Including Mark Hamill.
Well, Hamill releases, you know, he tweeted out today about how he thinks that, how he had quite, he really doubted at first. But once they started putting the story together and he saw the finished product, he said it's not just a good movie, but it's a great movie. And he was totally wrong about doubting it. And so Hamill's all on board. But the line where he says, I love him when she says, she goes to the island. I realize that you didn't love the throwing of the saber over the shoulder scene. But if that wasn't the moment we realized this movie isn't going to go the way you think, it's just a little bit later when she explains to him that Han Solo's dead. Chewie breaks through the door and he says, Chewie. And then, wait, where's Han? And I think going in, I always expected, like, oh, he's in tune with the Force. He probably knew Han Solo died. He had to have felt that, right, or something. But no, he didn't, because he'd shut, him off from the, shut himself off from the Force. But it was the line after Rey explains everything to him. He goes, you don't need Luke Skywalker. And she's like, what do you mean? Didn't you listen to any word I just said? And he said, what do you expect me to do, walk out with my laser sword and face the whole First Order on my own? Like, I didn't come to the most unfindable place on the, you know, in the galaxy for no reason at all. And he kind of storms off. And that's when I knew, I was like, this is not going to be a movie that people are going to expect in any way. And it's going to be really hard for some people to digest. Not just because Luke Skywalker called the lightsaber a laser sword. But the idea that's like, he has no interest. He's not going to go and just save the world by facing it off all on his own. And I love that line to the way they eventually delivered on. He did face off on his own. But the most he could really do is delay the First Order from ending the resistance and the rebellion by allowing them to escape and survive to live another day. It might not be the most compelling thing, but it was for me it was compelling, and it was the kind of riding on a horse off in the sunset scene that you wouldn't expect, and I didn't know I needed, but I loved. So, anyway, character arcs and pushing the characters forward is my first thing I wanted to mention as what I love. That includes Rey's parents being nobody. Thank goodness Rian Johnson did that. That was incredible. But anyway, that's something I liked. Skylar.
What a brave choice. What a brave
choice. It was brave. It was brave.
No one. Wow. So brave just to answer the question with nothing. That's the thing is, J.J. Abrams, since his days on Lost, loves to ask questions that don't have answers.
Okay.
He loves to ask questions that don't have answers. Yes, so you're saying that there's this universe with trillions of people, and there's a handful of people they could have been, but he made the brave choice of making them the parents from the trillions of people we don't know. Brave choice, Ryan.
No, it was absolutely choice. It took courage. It took courage.
Courage,
because
my lad,
he opened
courage.
Up the galaxy.
Okay, so the thing I liked about this movie the most was actually the porgs. I thought they were I'm not kidding. I freaking love the porgs.
Okay.
I think they're maybe the best thing that's been added to the Star Wars universe in this new trilogy. Like, I found them incredibly likable, and the scene with Chewie eating the porg and then stopping because the porg was looking at him, to the fact that they were flying around the island. I'm all about them porgs. I'm not going to be getting a porg tattoo, but they were definitely the highlight of the movie for me, far and away. Love me some porgs. Great choice, Ryan. Brave choice making porgs. What a brave man. He probably could have been on the beach at Normandy, but instead he's making The Last Jedi. That sounded sarcastic, but I actually do like the porgs. My biggest issue with this movie is probably going to be the A plot line. We are following...
Wait, this is supposed to be the thing you like.
I thought we were doing one thing we didn't like.
No, we're doing one thing we like, and then we're going to go through and do one thing we didn't like.
Okay, yeah, porgs. I'm done.
Okay, Skylar. Aaron.
The one thing... one of the things I liked about this movie was actually the death of Snoke. So the death of Snoke I thought was actually pretty interesting. I liked the way they handled that. And I also thoroughly enjoyed the lightsaber battle between Rey, Kylo, and the Praetorian Guard, I believe they're called.
Yeah.
The Red Stormtroopers. I thought that was a great scene. Probably my favorite scene in the entire movie. If I'm just talking about just one sequence, I'm probably going to say that sequence is the best one. My favorite, most exciting. In the entire movie. So.
Well, the art direction of that scene was incredible.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
No backflips, no high ground.
Yeah.
I mean, this was...
Right.
It was awesome.
Hey, David.
Very fun.
How many lightsabers hit another lightsaber in this movie?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I mean, you did see the movie 5 times. So did you count how many times?
Can you count how many times a lightsaber hit another lightsaber?
Yeah, I tried, but it turns out it's an innumerable... It's impossible to count. Actually, there's so
what
many.
What about
the number exists.
Clashing of laser
it's
swords?
Below
yeah,
one.
There's a lot of laser sword clashes. Okay. All right. I'm going to go into something I didn't like. So there were some CGI sequences that weren't great in this film. The writing of the Fathiers. There's a scene on the island for Rey's first lesson. She goes out on a cliff, and it's this green screen that didn't look great. It was almost inexcusably bad. But the worst of them, and also just a sequence that we talk about cringy, I'll admit that this was a little cringy, maybe a little bit more than a little. And it was BB-8 on the AT-ST And not even just him firing on the stormtroopers, which I'm fine with. In theory, the droid getting in there and actually, like, you know, being able to control and shoot lasers, I'm okay with that as a plot device. I realize why that might seem kind of cheap. What I wasn't okay with is later, after Finn hits Phasma, and like Rose comes up with BB-8, she goes, "Hey, need a lift?" And they go over on it, and there's a sequence of it running towards the shuttle, and it just looks bad. It looks really bad. It's
not even
bad.
Just a CGI in that scene. That whole sequence, Phasma was so promoted, and there's so many toys of Phasma, and like I feel like we just had Phasma shoved down our throat, and then Phasma turned out to be so inept.
Yeah, you know what?
And that's maybe not, 5 minutes of screen time in both movies.
Phasma.
Yes, it is.
Phasma was a good design.
Right, could have made Phasma cool in this movie.
No. Why? Why do we need Phasma? Phasma was literally a cool, like,
then why have Phasma in this movie at all?
That never justified a character. It never justified a character. J.J. Abrams literally saw the chrome thing in the costume department and was like, "Oh, I want to make a character out of that." And then the Disney merchandise goes running with it, and then all of a sudden we get this big buildup of, look at this chrome stormtrooper called Phasma, and then JJ's like, "Oh, I don't know what to do with this character. I never wrote this character in." And then it hands off to Ryan, and he's like, "I don't want anything to do with this character." And so he kills her off, rightfully so. Another great thing about Ryan is he trims the fat here, not just Snoke, but Phasma. Anyway, but what, you wanted Phasma? You wanted more Phasma?
No, I'm saying if you're going to have Phasma in it at all, make her interesting.
Okay.
Or not have her in it.
He didn't want her in it.
There's no point in her scene. Well, just don't have her in it. He's only making one of these movies. I don't get the point of ugh, I have to kill her, I guess. Just don't have her in the movie.
So was that the thing you didn't like?
No. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie. my big issue with the film was actually the A-plot line.
Oh, that's right.
Which is a ship going slightly faster than another group of ships.
Okay.
And despite having their entire fleet of small vehicles blown up, that other fleet of ships not sending any other faster vehicles to destroy the ships, and they're just like, "We're just gonna wait it out. We can wait them out." And so they just wait them out, and it's the most boring possible way for this movie to go. And that's the A storyline. I get that the Rey Kylo stuff, I'll admit, Kylo and Rey, that's interesting filmmaking. I have some issues with the way that they did that. I feel like it was kind of cheap, but it's interesting. But having a ship, when these ships run out of fuel, they started going backwards, as if I don't get what that thinking was. They're just moving forward in space. In space, there's no friction. You're not going to start moving backwards just because you run out of fuel.
The other ones were just catching up. They'd stopped.
No. They were literally spinning backwards.
Well, the perspective, I would argue, is that them moving forward close to it made it look like it was heading backwards. But that's maybe neither here nor there.
But why were there not 10,000 TIE fighters all over those ships destroying them?
Because then you end the A-plot instantly.
Yeah, can we say that on
the
A-plot now?
That means it's a bad A-plot. That's a bad plot line if it's that easily explained.
So, Skylar, I kind of understand where you're coming from in the fact that it's not the most compelling thing, that it's that what you're referring to as the A. I would call it probably the B, but I realize why it might be called the A.
No.
We start
it's
with
A,
it.
It's A, dude. It's A.
But I realize that might not be compelling. I will say, after five times viewing it, there is a level of self-awareness where they realize that this might seem ridiculous, that this is, it's just a matter of running out of gas storyline. And they do take great pains to describe over and over again why they can't actually catch up to them, or why they can't move in front of them or light speed ahead of them or anything. I know Aaron's rolling his eyes. I get it. It's not, I'm not excusing it. I realize that is one of the flaws of the film, is that I think for me, it was easier for me to digest that because of the stellar opening scene with Paige Tico in the bomber sequence.
No.
That was one of the coolest battle scenes.
Worthless.
It was so incredible. Even the cinematography in this film was stunning all throughout. Ryan Johnson directed the heck out of this thing. But there's the shot where Paige is kicking for the detonator thing to drop, and it does the shot from space that Ryan does, and I think Yedlin is his cinematographer. it moves from space, the camera, over, and then it does the kind of the thirds of Paige's eye as she's kicking it, you know, as she kind of comes to and then she starts kicking it. And it's one of the most beautifully shot things where she grabs it and then she hits it, and you see her starting to tear up as she realizes that she just sacrificed herself for the cause of the resistance. But really, she sacrificed herself because of Poe's recklessness. But anyway, that gave
How
it heart
to
breathing?
Me. How was
she breathing? What?
How was she breathing?
How was she breathing?
The bay doors were open to space.
Yeah, it's deep.
They were in the vacuum of space.
So this is what gets interesting, Skylar, is that we can go down this road, right? But you're about to unravel.
Let's go down this road.
The Empire Strikes Back. You're about to unravel Star Wars 1977. You're about to unravel Return of the Jedi.
Let's
Each
unravel
of which
them.
Has a sequence like this. Whether you're picking up Luke in space, whether you're, you know, there are multiple times where the bay
doors
or the hatches open.
No, that's Cloud City. That's in an atmosphere.
No, that's
one
of
very
them.
Different.
I'm telling you, this happens multiple times.
No, dude, let's
Star
go down
Wars.
This road. I'm telling you, there weren't this many egregious mistakes in the entire original trilogy as there
I
were in
the I promise you, you're wrong.
Movie.
I promise you, you're just
let's,
flat
let's go down
out
that road.
Wrong about
let's
that.
Let's go down that road
and
then.
I'm not saying that criticism shouldn't
Cloud
be
City
leveled.
Has an
I'm
atmosphere.
Just saying you need to be consistent. Like, if that's the thing that's going to drive you crazy and the thing that's going to make you call this a bad movie, we need to run this back to the original trilogy because it is
let's,
all.
Let's
over
run this back to the original trilogy. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Let's go all the way back to the prequels.
All the way back.
I like the logic for
the
prequels.
Yeah.
Wait, so my only question is, how did she move the remote? Because kicking that giant 100-foot ladder is not going to move the remote. Did she have the force? Is the force what moved the remote down to her? Or what is
it? In the words of Harrison Ford, that's not how the force works. that was a great line in The Force Awakens callback.
Also, in the words of Harrison Ford, I don't think I can land this plane.
But he did.
Okay.
You got to give him credit.
All right, Aaron, let's get your thing you didn't like.
I think I didn't like is, since you already brought it up, I got to just rehash it so we can go over it quickly, is the BB-8 controlled walker sequence was just absolute horse S. It was garbage. And I physically rolled my eyes seeing that a second. I watched this movie twice.
Thank
just to
you.
Be sure I didn't
Thank
like
you.
It. The first time I couldn't believe what I was watching when that sequence happened. The second time I physically rolled my eyes and shook my head because it's so bad. Okay. It's so poorly done. And it's laughably so stupid. It's the Deus Ex Machina a million times. Like, how many times do we see that in this movie? And this is just like the most egregious version of it. So the BB-8 controlled walker sequence is just garbage and I can't stand it.
So, yeah, I do think there was a misuse of BB-8 in this film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was a little more humanized in The Force Awakens or I don't know exactly how, maybe not humanized, but he had a little more character where here he was just kind of Johnny on the spot.
Every single time.
Okay, so my next one is a big one. Probably my biggest critique. Oh, no, wait. We're going things we like. How about from here on out, we'll each do, things. And I think this is what Skylar thought we were doing originally, thing we like and thing we don't like per person, okay? And since we are already at like almost 40 minutes, I'll try and go faster. Probably, so thing I like, I know we kind of already talked about one of the best saber sequences in it so I don't think I have to rehash that, but I will say appropriate callbacks to the OT. And so this is where I think Rian Johnson utilized the original trilogy while pushing forward these new characters in a way that I thought was so smart and so compelling. And that I keep saying compelling, but that's really the word that comes to mind when I think of what Rian Johnson's done here. From a filmmaking perspective, from a screenwriting perspective, from a story perspective, all of this is very compelling to me. But I'm going to say the callbacks being the Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi, that if in the wrong hands, that is just an egregious nostalgia play. But it was used in the story correctly. And I really appreciated that scene. It was almost emotional for me watching it, to be honest with you. Thinking that, like, how far we've come, how far this character has come, Luke Skywalker. This thing that was originally his whole motivation to get involved in this fight in the beginning is this message that he didn't even know was his sister. But this message from this princess, you know, is the thing that really kicked off getting, you know, finding Ben Kenobi and getting off that planet. It also led to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's torching death. But it was a really cool moment. But more importantly, the Yoda scene. This Yoda scene might be my very favorite scene in the film. There's a lot of scenes I love. I loved the Snoke death scene and the fight afterwards. I love the conversation between Kylo and Rey afterwards, which I'm going to talk about the performance of this film in my next round. So I'll tell you why I think Adam Driver is given one of the best performances in a Star Wars film. But this Yoda scene, we have Yoda from Empire and Return of the Jedi era, where he's kind of trolling Luke in the way he talks to him. They brought back, they recreated the Muppet of, you know, they actually have puppet Yoda. And the way they move him, the way they frame the shots, the music, which John Williams had the perfect callbacks, you know, just brought back the right, you know, medleys when he needed to. But we have new Yoda lines that are great. You know, like, we are what they grow beyond. That is the true burden of all masters. Talking about, you know, passing on what he's learned, strength, mastery, failure, all this stuff. It was really, really well done. So it was an appropriate amount of callbacks. So that was something I loved. And then thing I didn't love, and it might be my biggest criticism, is the Finn and Rose kiss at the end was so unearned. Ugh. And out of the nowhere. And I'm still pretty convinced that Finn has no interest whatsoever in Rose. And I hate saying this. I really do. But Rose's character, played by Kelly Marie Tran, might be a problem. I don't think it was a great character, and I don't think it was super well performed. But that kiss at the end, right as the blaster cannon is hitting, it's like hitting the door, and then she thinks that's the romantic moment to go up and kiss him. It's like, no, actually, they just blasted through the door, and the resistance is about to get annihilated. Maybe now's not the time to kiss.
But what's the line she said?
She wrote, before she kissed him? Goes, you dummy, you're not supposed to destroy the things you hate. You're supposed to save the ones you love, or save what you love.
And now, why were they celebrating after their big trip to Vegas town?
Why were they celebrating?
Maybe they weren't successful, but hey, at least they destroyed the stuff that those people liked.
Okay.
Remember when they're standing there on the cliff and they're all like bummed because they couldn't find the guy they needed to?
Yeah, and she's does like, say that.
Yeah, we might not have done what we needed to, but hey, we screwed up their stuff for them. We destroyed some of the stuff that we hate.
Actually, she says that after she frees the those horse creature things.
The Fa'adir.
Yeah, she does.
She says it in the Fa'adir sequence. Yeah. Because he was like, so good to get back at that city, you know. Like,
really bad.
You know, that was worth it, right? And then she's like, no. And then she takes the saddle off and frees him, and she goes, now it was worth it. It's not about destroying what you hate. It's about saving what you love.
That's not what she said in that moment.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly. I've seen it 5 times.
No, it's not. Dude, that whole sequence on Tico Town.
So Canto Bight's one of my favorite sequences in the film, and I can't wait to talk about it more.
No way.
That is insane.
No, it's honestly one of my favorite sequences. There's this scene with the cup, and it's an homage to Jurassic Park, which I thought you would have loved. And the cup starts, and it zooms out. And then you see the Fa'adirs coming through, which is awesome. Now, there was some bad CGI, granted, I will say. But if this were a film that was only about a ship chasing another ship, where's the rest of the galaxy, right? We need to go places, more than just Crait and on these ships. Going to Canto Bight gave us a reason to say, like, oh, look, here's a whole other world, right? What if Monte Carlo were in space? This is what it looks like. But more importantly, where's the rest of the world when the fate of the galaxy is between these group of Forced Order ships going after this one rebellion ship? Like, why isn't anyone else getting involved? And we had a really, really interesting reason to explore this planet, being like, this is why people aren't involved. They don't care at all. They're just getting rich off of selling weapons to both of them. And that's why Benicio's character is one of my favorites as well, because he was able to, like, that whole theme of, like, you know, good guys, bad guys, it's made up terms. Like, all of these people that, you know, all these people in this town, they don't care. They don't care about this fight. They're just getting rich. I thought that was compelling. I thought that was an interesting and very topical, like, kind of thread to explore.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. It's incredibly boring to be stuck in a ship in the middle of space while there's this incredible galaxy going on around you, and you're not seeing any of it except 5 minutes of this terrible sequence with the two worst characters in the movie. Oh, you're exactly right about that. Okay. And I would have loved if, like,
that's not exactly what I'm saying.
So, like, if in Empire, when they had, like, the sequence where they're running from a Star Destroyer and it takes place for, like, you know, 25 minutes, that's interesting. Like, it's 25 minutes, and then you move on to new parts of the movie. This movie just, it logs down, and it stays in that. And then we get this little minute where we're going to go see this planet, and it's all underdeveloped, and we're with our least favorite characters. And there's a broom kid, and it all sucks. But It could have been awesome. Like, I love the universe of Star Wars is fascinating. Say what you will about the prequels, but we see some awesome planets in the prequels. We see so many cool planets.
We don't.
They cool all pod race too.
We really don't.
Dude, that's not untrue. Dude, you're being really unkind to the prequels. And the pod race is one of the cool sequences in Star Wars.
No! Pod race is good. Pod race is good.
Race, no! The pod race is cooler than anything that happened in this movie. The
you're
pod race is
me.
Better than anything that happened in this movie.
Oh my
without
gosh.
Question.
Oh my gosh.
You can't even argue it. You know what?
Oh, I can't.
When we got to Canto Bite and they were like getting ready to show us the race course, I was praying it was a pod race. I wanted to be a pod race.
So I'd heard that
so
from
bad.
Other people.
I would have stood up and cheered and give this a 95 on Rotten Tomatoes if this had been a pod race sequence. If it had stopped the movie and for 30 minutes had a pod race, I would have loved this movie. Especially
it would have been better if they brought back the Senate discussion, the political scenes from the prequels. Would have been more exciting than what we got on Canto Bite.
Stop that right now.
Absolutely.
Can I
you know
say
what?
Something
if we would have had some trade discussion and some overtly racist Asian characters and some overtly racist Jewish characters.
I wanted another Viceroy.
Oh, but we could have done
that.
Would it
be racially insensitive to my Viceroy?
It is against the trade agreement. Oh,
oh God.
That's accurate. No, it's accurate. It's not racist.
I'm doing.
Okay. Speaking of this, I need to bring this up. I thought this was hilarious. I don't know if you guys agreed, but when they show Maz Kanata, thank goodness. Yeah, I know. Like Skylar hated Maz in Force Awakens, so they scaled her back majorly to just like a hologram communication. But like this was the most overt, like, screw the prequels theme was when she says, you know, she's in this big battle, which is another thing of showing, like, oh, there's other things going on in the galaxy, right? And they're like, Maz, what are you doing? And she goes, oh, it's a union dispute. And then she looks, like, right at the camera, and she's like, you do not want to hear about it. Meaning, like, this movie is not going to explore union disputes, trade disputes, political stuff. Like,
so
it was literally
cool
Rian Johnson writing, you guys don't want to hear about this
wall.
Stuff. We're going to tell the better story. And I loved it. I loved that. As soon
Dude,
as she's like, you do not want to hear
about
it, I was like, perfect.
Is easily
I don't.
100 times more interesting than a ship chasing another ship in the
no,
middle of the
it's
galaxy.
Not. No,
the
it's not. No,
dispute,
it's not. No, it's not.
It would
not.
Be a way better
no,
Star
not.
Wars story.
But no, absolutely not.
I'd watch that Maz Star Wars story.
No. Oh my
god. There was nothing interesting about ships running
you
out of gas.
You don't watch Maz's union dispute movie. You don't.
I watch that tomorrow. I pay $16 and I sit on the front row.
Okay.
Maz's union dispute, a Star Wars story.
Who
and you know who directs
right
it?
Now?
Ron Howard. I love it. I think I'm on my the thing I loved.
Yeah.
Did I say Porgs yet?
Yes.
I really
but
like
you can bring
porgs.
Up Crystal Critters or Fathiers or the Caretakers or any
no,
other creature. This was a great for species.
The Caretakers actually had the only funny jokes I thought that worked were the care creatures hating Rey. I thought that actually was quite a great little thread.
This was the funniest Star Wars film of all time, now. You have to admit.
No, it wasn't. Not even close.
this was the funniest
Dude,
Star Wars film.
I'm not even joking, David. The sequence at the end of Rogue One where all the characters died was funnier than this movie.
Oh, stop.
Okay, something I liked about this movie, genuinely, was Poe's sexual chemistry with everyone he interacts with on screen, including
Oh, with Holdo. With Holdo, it was strong.
Oh, my gosh. No, how about him and Rey at the end? It's like, oh, sorry, Finn. You just got C-blocked hard because now
yeah,
Poe's on the scene.
He's like, I'm Poe.
She
like, I'm Rey.
Was giving
like,
him...
I know.
She's giving him FIs like crazy. Like,
I will admit, the look he gave her was like it would be concerning for Finn. I will say that.
The look she gave him, woo,
yeah,
woo,
yeah,
hot. Yeah. Anyway, so I really enjoyed Poe. Like, I can do that.
Dude, Poe was awesome. Poe was. They gave something for Poe to do in this movie.
The only issue I had with Poe, well, no, Poe had nothing to do with this movie. You completely disagree. But the only problem I had with Poe was that the biggest moment for him was him making a terrible phone call with Donal, and that was rough.
No, that's when I knew this. Honestly, it worked so well for me. That's when I knew like this could be the funniest Star Wars film. My theater it played
no,
very
bro,
well.
No, that wasn't funny.
It was
the Japanese theater was in there laughing. Your Japanese theater was like, oh yeah, this is oh. We must
well,
make more trade
in
route
the, in
decisions.
The theater, the laughs were delayed because it was my film was in English but subtitled in Japanese. And so, like, when that was going on, no one was laughing. I was like, am I the only one that's laughing? And then about 10 seconds later, the theater starts uproar, you know.
You know why that is, though.
I didn't.
Subtitle just said, "Now laugh so David enjoys it."
Well, I didn't know if they were laughing at the joke, or it was, since it was delayed, or if it was when it's because they killed a Korean character. I don't know. It could have been either or. But
I believe it's been established.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. What loved or hated? I feel like everything you love turns into a thing you hate.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. I genuinely enjoyed Poe, except for that phone call. Okay. I really think that Oscar Isaac is the most talented actor in this series. Although I will say, not the most interesting character, because I'll talk about it next time, but Kylo is by far the most interesting character in this new franchise.
Yes, 100%. We agree there. Definitely. Ryan Hamblin, R-I-A-N, Hamblin, did mention he thought it was hilarious how he scratched BB-8's little underbelly like a puppy. Which I also thought was pretty funny. all right, Aaron. So, yeah,
that's part of that sexual chemistry I enjoyed.
So one thing I hated was the when Luke milks that sea walrus thing. I didn't care for those nipples. And one thing that I loved was Kylo Ren's nipples. So it's kind of a pairing.
Those were some big nips.
Okay.
Who knew? Who knew Adam Driver?
Was it you, Aaron, that shared that comic, but with like the shirtless incredible. Adam Driver, and then the green milk comes out of him?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Oh yeah,
that is so gross. Yeah.
Very uncomfortable shirtless scene with Kylo Ren.
Ooh, that was not good because Rey was not asking for that. In fact, she was asking.
No, she wasn't, and that's what I thought. That's why it was so awesome. I think that's why it's so good is because these Force connections being controlled by Snoke happened when they couldn't control it, right? I mean, he just happened to be getting out of the shower or the Bacta tank or whatever. And, you know.
So I would say that's not awesome. I would say that's actually a commentary on 2017 where all males are doing things that make women sexually uncomfortable.
Now,
specifically talking about Louis C.K., Harvey Weinstein. Ooh.
But ooh. Kylo wasn't controlling this. That Matt Damon. Would be Snoke, right?
Not Matt Damon.
Yeah, Snoke is the problematic one. Kylo didn't know that was happening, but he could have put on a cloak.
He could have put on something.
Request that he did, and he did not, so I will give you that.
Oh, yeah. He put his foot down. Because
how many push-ups did Kylo or did Adam Driver do before filming that scene?
Oh, I don't know. 250? He was sweating.
Yeah. Dude, he looked hot. Like, I don't just mean like sexy. I mean like he looked like he was working out
hard. No, it was very, very sweaty. It wasn't like he just got, wasn't steam from a shower sweaty. He was working out.
Honestly, like if you just look at Adam Driver, you're just like, you watch the movie Patterson, you're like, that guy looks like me without a shirt on.
He's mushy. That's the thing. So if you ever seen him on Girls, he's mushy. Like there's nothing, but for this movie, he's ripped.
He's a Marine, guys, right? I mean, you know that he's got, he knows.
Yeah, he was like the Marine that was like sitting on a computer.
Space Marine, maybe.
Space Marine.
He's stealing valor. I don't think he's a real Marine.
Ooh.
Okay.
By the way, is he like the ugliest leading man in Hollywood now?
Oh, without a doubt, he's definitely the most non-conventionally handsome leading man in Hollywood.
Yeah. It's but he's so great. Weird because like he's ugly, but I'm also like kind of into him.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird thing. Yeah, he's not a good-looking dude, but when he has his hand out to Rey, I'm like, take the hand. Take the hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You take that hand, Rey. You take that hand. Okay,
yeah, that was actually the one thing.
I talk trash on this movie a lot. That scene where they hold hands, damn, there was some chemistry there. Like, that worked so well.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to point out. So the one thing that I really liked about it was every single scene between Rey and Kylo worked for me.
Yeah.
Like 100%. They all hit.
Absolutely.
And I love the relationship they developed. So.
But I think that they lose points for the fact that they did it in kind of a way that felt like it was cheating because they didn't have to spend the story capital to get them in the same place.
They went Arrested Development on it.
But I thought that was clever. It would have been less cheap. Clever if they didn't bring back that whole new Force thing at the very end with Luke, right? If they didn't have that big one, then it would have felt a little bit more like a cheat.
But that feels like a totally different use of that.
No, it's the same thing because at the beginning, right when they first start connecting and they're confused, Kylo says, "You can't be doing this. This would kill you," because he knows that whole like idea of projecting oneself. Because he thought she was in the same room, then he realized like, "Oh no, this is something else." But it was the similar principle, and eventually they do become in the same room for the hand touch, but just for a brief moment, just for a moment. And then that's when Luke comes in and blows the whole thing up. By the way, notice that Luke didn't notice that they were having these force connections because he was disconnected from the force. But that scene where he connects again and speaks to Leia kind of through their minds, it's the very next scene when they do the hand touch and then he notices, right? And then he blows the whole hut, which is going to piss off those caretakers. I felt bad for the caretakers, to be honest with you. Anyway,
yeah, that
Aaron,
was the funniest part.
That was something you liked, which I am wholeheartedly in agreement of. Everything with Rey and Kylo was compelling. It moved the characters
that
forward.
Worked.
It was so interesting. And going into 9, it's just this fascinating dynamic to where they've touched, they've seen each other's futures, more importantly, the possibilities of their future. And they don't just hate each other.
But,
and they don't have to have a relationship in terms of blood. They don't have to have a lineal relationship in order to make this an interesting dynamic. And that's what I love that what Rian Johnson did. But Aaron,
don't you see that, like, they had the chance to make that really interesting, and they just pissed it away in the middle of the movie.
I think they're going to revisit it in 9. I think they have to revisit
it.
I get that they'll revisit it, but I think this was the chance for them to do something interesting.
They did.
For Rey and... No, because Rey left, and she just left Kylo. And like
doesn't matter.
That was
Kylo
the least
still has the feelings.
Yeah, they have the feelings now. That's what's so
interesting.
So that's what makes it interesting, is that they're all in opposite directions, but they have feelings. Like, if they were on the same side, that would be way less interesting.
Oh, I think if they were running things, that would have been incredible.
I mean,
I would love to see that movie.
Yeah. Well, we know that Kylo caught feelings.
That's like something
and...
we've never seen before. This is like something we've seen before. Like, we know.
I mean, I think they can explore that in 9.
Yeah.
So
that's the whole thing. Because you were, to be fair, Skylar, you were complaining that there was no meat left on this bone for JJ in 9. That's meat on the bone, is exploring what that relationship is like and one of them joining. I will say it'd be more interesting if Rey joined Kylo than Kylo joining Rey, because we have seen the Kylo joining Rey, a variation
of it
with Vader.
Rey could join Kylo and they could actually do good, because the First Order isn't fundamentally evil. The First Order was evil because they had
evil. No, it was born out of the dark side. It is fundamentally evil. That's what Lor San Tekka says in The Force Awakens. It was born out of the dark side.
No, it was born on the dark side because the guy that was running things was a bad dude. You put two people that are good people, like the guys who are just running things below them, like it's like a mid-level marketing company, you know? Like everybody's just working because they don't want to get fired by their boss.
It's Cutco Knives is what's going on.
It would do really well in Utah Valley. This company would do so well in Utah Valley. Everybody would be talking to their friends at the Steak Center. But it's fundamentally could change if you had different leadership. That's what could have been explored, is that like, it was not an evil thing that Kylo's trying to get Rey to join. It's something that they could help actually bring, like, balance to the Force and the whole universe together by doing that. And it didn't seem like Rey grasped that. And that was disappointing, because that could have been so interesting to explore that.
So I don't
the
disagree.
Movie would have ended
I
with
don't
Rey
disagree
and her.
That it would be interesting to explore that. And that's meat on the bone for 9, if they want to go that direction. Although I don't think 9's a failure if they don't go that way. But I interpreted that scene differently than you. I think Rey, having this newfound connection, she saw Kylo's intentions. He didn't have an intention to do good and rule the galaxy, you know, to use a religious term, in righteousness. But like, but that she saw, like, oh, we could rule together, but his style of rule, what he wants to do, is not what I would want to do. Like, he is fully committed to evil. And well, I shouldn't say fully committed.
He's not.
Definitely,
I disagree
he's not fully
completely.
Committed. But she saw into him. You know, she has that force connection. She's like, I don't want to rule like that. That's how I read that.
Well, didn't Luke also see that in him? And he was wrong, because Kylo didn't turn evil fully.
Well, fully. But Luke saw the potential
Snoke.
If he did go full, right? And that's
right.
Why, for a moment. And if you don't mind, can we transition to the conversation of that scene? Did you guys like
Absolutely.
That dynamic of giving Ren a little bit more of like a backstory of why he turned? Was that interesting to you?
I thought that was handled perfectly. I love the way they handled it. And I didn't think they were going to go that deep. And I thought Rian Johnson nailed that one. So I got to give him credit for that.
I love the perspectives, right? You got Ren's perspective, Hamill's perspective, or Luke's perspective. And then there was a third one that we got that was kind of somewhere in between. But I loved that. I love that revisiting. We don't do flashbacks like that in Star Wars. There hasn't actually been flashbacks like that. But I thought it was justified by the way they did it.
Right, which is like
that.
The Rashomon style.
I thought it was one of those things where I thought it was a cool subversive choice. Although we have issues with like that scene as related to the scene that we saw in The Force Awakens now, where like she had the vision when she touched the lightsaber, right? And it doesn't match up with what we saw in this movie now. So like, mm-hmm. was she seeing something different? Was there just a lack of
string theory, bro?
did they just not care? Like, where are the Knights of Ren? Who are the Knights of Ren? Like,
oh, that's we're never right. gonna need, find out.
Backstory explained. I keep forgetting that.
What? No, I don't. Like, I just if they introduce something in a movie, I expect it to be paid off.
Yeah,
like, that's kind of filmmaking 101.
Okay, I do want to. That brings up a really important point, Skylar, that I want to explore as well. But Aaron didn't get to the thing he didn't like, and so I want to make sure that we cap that out.
That's all right. I think the my biggest problem, or the next biggest problem, was the Canto Bite. I mean, we've talked about it constantly. We've rehashed it. I just didn't like
it
at all.
Did Benicio work for you?
It was a waste of a planet. He was okay. I mean, okay. He was fine.
Okay.
Didn't love him.
Now, was it the aliens? Was it the fact that they didn't actually succeed in their mission? Was it the ecstatic?
It turned out to be pointless, which was just, and it was also just so convenient. Like, everything about that planet was just so convenient. We're going to put them on this mission with the only guy, the only hacker in the world that can get us into the one security. Exactly. The other guy happened to be in the same cell as them, which is just, it's so contrived and funny.
Oh, okay.
And
see, that's where
I didn't like anything about
that's where I really want to introduce you to the visual dictionary, because it describes why Benicio del Toro was in the jail cell. Anyway, we'll get into
it. Here's the thing. I didn't buy a ticket to read a book.
Okay, that's fair. The movie, it's there. Like, oh, it's okay. It's explained in the visual dictionary. That's like, that's not how this works.
Even without the visual dictionary, I'm fine with that character being in a jail cell and overhearing them. I don't see a problem with that at all. I don't know how many times I could tell you guys that I've gotten out of binds by people in jail cells overhearing what I'm talking about. It's happened to me dozens of times.
I love Benicio, by the way. Like, he's one of the coolest actors in the world. And I just felt like he was wasted.
Do you know Benicio was originally cast as Darth Maul?
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Then
thank heavens he didn't take
Lucas had rewrote it, so Darth Maul had a much less prominent role in the Phantom Menace than he originally had.
Dumb.
And then Benicio wanted out, which was smart. Although I can't say that this was a prominent role.
No.
It was still
Do you mean the voice, or do you mean the like body?
The actual body, the actual person.
Who had more of an impact in the films? Darth Maul or?
Because his voice is Sarah Finowitz.
Of course he did.
What's your question, Aaron? Sorry.
Who had a bigger impact, Darth Maul or General Phasma? Or what was
name? Darth Maul.
Oh, Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Darth Maul was more important to the Star Wars universe than Snoke.
Yeah.
But he also went out like a punk, like General Phasma did.
Thanks for editing what you're about to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know exactly what word you were
Here's a question for, I want to get into. J.J. Abrams is famous for his mystery boxes. Now, I will say The Force Awakens for me has actually aged very well. I do like it. I still have things I don't love about it, even though it's gotten tremendously better with age. I would say, like, having Starkiller Base as another Death Star is still just dumb. R2 coming in the very end with this map to the Last Jedi Temple, or the First Jedi Temple, with a map to the First Jedi Temple and the Last Jedi film, I thought was kind of contrived and way, way too much of a cop-out. But overall, J.J. Abrams did an incredible job introducing new characters that were very interesting, had fascinating backstories, and I was excited to go on that journey. But, much like the first episode and season of Lost, J.J. Abrams is very good at introducing questions and not answering them and handing off the baton. That's what he did with Lost, with Damon Lindelof. That's why Lost ended in one of the worst and dumbest ways I've ever seen in a TV show. It was such a dumb ending. Because J.J. he's really, really good at asking interesting questions, but he doesn't have the answers. And this is what he did with The Force Awakens. He built up this idea of this character Snoke. Didn't answer anything about his backstory. Not that we need it, but Rey's parentage. He unfortunately made it seem like a bigger deal.
In Star Wars movies, lineage
being super important, which I'm so glad is not as important moving forward. Other than Ben Solo, I do think we should have a connection to the Skywalker family. To be clear, I'm glad we have that in Ben Solo. We don't need every single character to have a tie-in, though. We just don't. But my question to you is this:
What
is it fair for Rian Johnson to get handed off all these mystery boxes with no answers and have him come up with his own answers? Because this is what people are complaining about is online and in articles and message boards, is this idea that the Lucasfilm Story Group didn't have this whole three-picture movie thing figured out, that it's just each writer is handed the last story and told to pick up where they left off. To me, that's creatively freeing that is really and interesting. Stupid. To others, that's frustrating. What do you think?
I think it's really stupid to not have a plan. Mm. If you're doing a trilogy, you should have a plan from the beginning. Like, if I think about J.K. Rowling, if J.K. Rowling had no plan at the beginning for Harry Potter and, like, she didn't know where it was heading, like, I think that's lazy. Same thing with Lord of the Rings. If like, it was written as one book, but, like, stories like this are one story. They're told in three parts.
Do you sincerely believe Lucasfilm, or Lucas, excuse me, had that three movie arc fleshed out, or an idea of where it was going?
Dude, according to George Lucas, he had 9 films already fleshed out in his mind.
9 films planned, just like Lucas. Disney had that, 3 films planned, right? Like, they had that. They knew how many movies.
Yeah, but they had no clue what they were doing. I do think George knew what he was doing. I think he.
But do you think he knew that Luke and Leia were going to be brother and sister in that first film? Because I don't think he did. Absolutely.
I think he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was just
I think that's the crutch of the dynamic. Yeah.
I don't think he knew. If they don't kiss, it doesn't feel real.
Dude, I think you're underestimating Lucas.
Okay, maybe. Maybe. I doubt it, though.
Because, dude, he definitely knew.
I don't think he knew.
Aaron?
I don't think he knew.
Oh, he definitely... I have no idea what you guys are talking about, so...
Aaron, stop
like,
smoking
so you guys pot. You guys like went to the point of like true Star Wars nerddom where I like check out.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just thinking about like all the cheesy lines from the last
show. Okay, okay.
Right,
all
now.
Right. Let's
when
begin,
Rose
let's
says
begin.
When Rose is on Cantobite and she's what's her line?
Her line is I wish I could punch my fist this whole lousy beautiful town. Okay.
Best line
it's
of the movie.
It's not Ryan's best line, I'll admit. It's not Ryan's best
this
line.
Lousy beautiful town. Oh gosh.
Okay. All right. My praise for this film has been effusive. I'm going to jump in with something I didn't like. When the kid hits the button to let the Fathiers run out at Cantabite, he goes, go, 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 woo! And it reminded me so much of Little Annie that, like, I cringed a little bit.
That was a cringe moment, one of the 27. My question is, how did they get Jake Lloyd to do CGI age de-aging to make him look so young again? Or did they just, like, CGI his character from... Dude, how are you going to cast a kid that looks so much like Jake Lloyd?
Like, I know. Okay, it was a bad casting.
It's only going to make us remember.
No, it was a bad casting. I agree.
He should have been Asian.
Yeah, does Kelly Marie Tran not have a little brother or something?
I don't think they're the only Asian family.
In Hollywood. We have a comment here. From Tyler.
Oh, thanks, Tyler, for knowing George Lucas's mind.
No, George did not. He also did not plan on Darth Vader being Luke's father. Booyah. See, guys? That's the thing. They're writing
Tyler doesn't know that.
Look,
I'm Tyler. I have a baby. I know everything.
That's the thing. You don't read the books.
okay, I will say yeah, this. I see the movies, you dumb-dumbs. Have you heard of Star Wars? It's a movie.
Skyler, do you know what I'm really uninterested in? I'm uninterested in Rian Johnson... a premier writer and filmmaker being handed a story that's already fleshed out by Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams. That's what I'm very uninterested in. What I think is very interesting is handing it off to Ryan saying, take this where you want. And because of that creative freedom, I think he created something that absolutely subverted our expectations, but more importantly than that, was actually compelling and brilliant and fascinating from a narrative, and I don't know where they're going to take it in 9. I think maybe 9 opens up with Leia's funeral and then Poe being instated as the general of the rebellion. I don't know, but it's so interesting to me that it could go anywhere. We kind of knew where things were going to go after The Force Awakens in certain ways. That's what we thought, but then Rian just flipped that right around and did his own thing, and that's why I thought it was so interesting and creatively joyful.
Yeah, but
what,
like,
I was going to say, yeah,
but like that's the point is if I get giving Rian some creative freedom, but to have it be like, it's kind of like if you're doing a improv with your friends, and so you're doing an improv scene.
I do that all the time.
Shut up. Okay. I hate both of you right now. And so you're doing improv, or you're doing like an improv game. When you pass it on to somebody, They're supposed to continue the story. They're not supposed to then turn everything you said, turn that around, poop on it, and then be like, okay, now you do the next one. I just pooped on everything, and now there's nothing interesting moving forward. Sorry.
Okay.
It's yes and, not poop and.
By the way, I'm starting an improv podcast called Yes Anderson Cooper. So if everybody wants to listen to that, it's gonna be really bad. So what did you guys,
back to the Jake Lloyd kid. The reason why the go, woo.
Who are his parents?
But the very end, they have this whole like, now people have been talking about how they felt like this could have been an end credit sequence. And I kind of agree. I kind of agree that like the shot on the Falcon with the remaining people of the rebellion, the new rebellion, like that probably should have been where the credits, you know, rolled. We get the, you know, dun, 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 and it says written and directed by Rian Johnson. But instead they go back to Canto Bite, show the kids telling the legend of Luke Skywalker with their little figurines. And then the kid goes out in a small moment with the Force, brings his broom, and then he starts sweeping and then looks up at a shooting star or the Millennium Falcon going to light speed or whatever it is. And then he holds up his broom like a saber, like he's Luke Skywalker, and it ends. And I thought, to me, that was a very poetic Last Jedi ending. And it worked for me. Did it work for you?
No.
Simple, straightforward, absolutely not. No.
God. It
couldn't have been cheesier.
Okay. All right. All right. Cheesy. Okay.
It was very Hook to me. You know the old Robin Williams movie?
Oh, yeah, I know.
With the Lost Boys.
That's a good movie, though.
I mean, it's not... it's pretty good. There's no Robin Williams in Last Jedi, okay, though, so...
All right, well, Brenton Brinkerhoff agrees with you guys.
My man, BB.
Brinkerhoff. I don't think that's actually him agreeing with us, because I think they're behind the feed.
They are.
Maybe.
I'm choosing the comments as I want, in a way that I want. All right. And Brenton comes in here. First movie was going to be a trilogy, but he wouldn't be able to make all three movies. He made the first movie all three parts. That's why the first was Death Star and the three movie was Death. I don't fully understand his comment. George couldn't think of anything else. It sounds like he's agreeing with me, though, so I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to say Brenton doesn't have a PhD in Star Wars like I do, so BTFO.
From George Lucas University. Okay, I'm going to hit on a few more things. I don't know if you guys have a bunch more things on your list to go over, and if you do, we can do that. But I just want to hit on – I'm going to ask you guys a few questions, if you don't mind.
It's past midnight for me, so if we can start wrapping this
– We are wrapping up. This is the last few things. Carrie Fisher's performance. Better than The Force Awakens? Worse than The Force Awakens? Was this a good swan song or not?
I mean, it could have been worse than The Force Awakens.
Awakens was pretty bad.
It was kind of better by default, but like also – I think she was better in Rogue One, so...
Okay. All right. Aaron, what did you think?
I mean, she's better in this, but she was harder to understand.
Really?
And I understand it. Yeah, so I don't know if it was her dentures or some... I don't know, something else was going on there. But there's something up with her speech patterns. I don't know. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but
it was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, R.I.P. No disrespect. She was better in this than Force Awakens.
She was better in this than in Rogue One as well. I didn't catch that joke.
And Empire and Return of the Jedi. Yep.
I know you guys are going to hate this.
This was her best performance.
I thought her performance was so good. Comparatively.
Good.
Like, get your head out of your cockpit line, which was really good. Apparently that's her line that she wanted. She begged Rian Johnson to include in there, and he did. Also, the whole her reunion with Luke. I have to admit, and I'm a grown man, I cried in that scene. I could not help it. It was so emotional to me. Even considering that Luke is a projection, still was fine. We haven't even talked about that scene, by the way. And we're wrapping up.
Can I just mention the one thing I want to mention about that? Yeah. Upon second viewing, I did notice like his little tells.
Yes.
When he winks to C-3PO. Yes. That's pretty
cool.
When
he touches her hand with the dice, she looks up at him like, oh, this isn't your hand. And then he gives little look to her like, yep, I'm not here.
Exactly.
Wait, also, so his how did Kylo and markings. Rey touch?
What's that?
How did Kylo and Rey touch?
That's a good question.
They're related.
Yeah, that's their brother and sister.
But they're brother and sister.
I will say going in, I wanted to have some sort of Luke major saber fight scene. And I can't say that the end of it was what I wanted in that sense. I do think, though, it was better for the story what he did. You know, it didn't make sense for him to go after and attack Kylo.
Why didn't he just go?
Why did he what?
Why didn't he just go?
How would he have gotten there?
Just show up?
How would he have gotten there?
His X-Wing?
No. His X-Wing, why not? This is important if you had read the cross-sections book here. What's important to understand is that ship was so out of commission, he literally dismantled parts of it. The door on his hut that Chewie breaks through is a huge part of the engine of his X-Wing. The thing is done. It is broken down. That thing is not moving out of that water. It is not starting up. It's just not.
Actually, we learned from the first 10 minutes of the movies that if you have power over the Force, you can fly through space. So he didn't need a space shuttle.
Dang it. Okay, I will say about the flying through space thing, though. The first time I watched it, I was a little bit like, ooh. Okay, Leia's flying through space.
Terrible.
How am I handling this? And then the second, third, fourth, and fifth time I watched it, I kid you not, I got the chills watching it. I was so moved emotionally. I really was. I really, truly was. It's incredible. It's the survival instincts. When everything's on the line, you know, she survives because she needs to. And it would have been an easy way for them to just cut her out of the movie because she's dead in real life. But I really, really am grateful that they went with this beautiful moment. The Leia's theme starts. You see her finger. It's all old and, like, you know, spacey. You know, it's like, you know, and then she's...
Did you also have the same feeling when you saw the movie Gravity and Sandra Bullock was flying through space in a similar fashion?
Yeah. It was a great movie.
It was just as believable.
Yeah, it's great. I love that movie. I'm 100% on board. Anyway.
Guys, here's the problem with these movies. The most emotional death that's happened in the first two films for me was Laura Dern. Like, I think she outweighed the Han death. And the Luke death wasn't even really a death, so, like, that didn't feel like anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, how is it that Laura Dern, who's had, like, 15 minutes on screen, had the coolest death so far? Like, she actually meant something when she died.
I didn't really care for her character. I mean, it was okay. It's gotten better as I watched the movie. I do feel like a little bit like she should have just told Poe the plan. Like, that's, you know, one of my other criticisms of the film is kind of like, I could have avoided this whole mutiny if, you know, just would have told them the plan. But anyway.
Which would have really changed everything.
Okay. Poe had a great arc, probably the best arc in the film. But anyway, I will say the climactic sequence of this film involves the light speed the light speed craft through Snoke's ship, which was beautiful, one of the highlights. But it's also happening right as Finn and Rose are about to be executed by the execution stormtroopers and Phasma, and right as Rey and, you know, they're all on that ship, you know, Rey and Kylo, which was Adam Driver's, I mean, not only is the most interesting character, Kylo Ren, but that performance in that scene where he says, you know, you are nothing. You have no place in this story. You're nothing. You know, your parents are in a pauper's grave on Jakku. You know, they sold you for drinking money. And then when he does this thing where he says, you are nothing, but not to me. And then puts his hand out, and then they do the shot of her face as she's kind of crying and conflicted, and then back to him. And he does this thing where you see, like, this whole, like, in his eyes, he's kind of confident and kind of evil, but then he gets really vulnerable and says, please. And it is, like, one of the best acted scenes out of any of these Star Wars movies I've ever seen. And Star Wars films aren't known for great acting, right? I don't think you need great acting for these films to work. But, man, the more and more I watch that scene, Adam Driver, very good. Very, very, very good.
Yeah, he gave the best performance, I think, of anyone in any of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
But I don't know about the Han Solo one-off, so I'm going to hold my judgment for that. Still lots of hope in that one.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I know we're past midnight Dallas time. Well, let's wrap up here for Skylar's sake. It's getting really dark where he is. I don't know if he's outside.
He's in space right now.
He's been ejected space, from like the...
Can we just pour one out for who's the guy that died on the bridge?
Admiral Akbar. Oh my gosh.
Admiral Akbar.
A lot of disrespect.
Or enough for Admiral Akbar.
Well, dude, the lady didn't even mention any of the other resistance leadership. She's like, Admiral Akbar and everyone else, they're all gone.
I had very little use for her. Like, I thought she was very annoying.
Okay, her nose was disproportionate in a way that was tough. And that's coming from someone who has a large nose, okay? Easy Make no there, mistake, dude. I'm self-aware let's about watch, the size of my schnoz.
Let's watch, but her nose, let's walk easily it would, when we criticize
it would peek into the scene like this, you know? It would be like this, this is... into the frame, and I'd be like, oh, here she comes. It became a problem.
This is turning misogynistic. I'm out.
Now, something I didn't realize is that... So I heard that that Princess Leia's real-life daughter was going to be in the movie. But what I didn't know was that her daughter is Lena Dunham, which is pretty cool. Like, I mean, okay. Stuff I did not know. Okay. Was Lena Dunham's mom. All right.
Last thoughts here. Aaron.
Last thoughts, I was totally disappointed. I mean, but I am looking forward to 9. So they've still got me on the hook.
Okay.
I'm not out yet. So they get one more shot at this. Okay. That's it. And if 9 sucks, then I'm totally done.
What are you looking most forward to in 9? What are you hoping for in 9? That's the question for both of you.
I mean, so the one thing that I'm looking forward to the most is more Kylo Ren. I want him on the screen as much as possible.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Adam Driver now.
All right.
Based on this one performance in this movie. So give me more Kylo Ren. More Rey. Let's build that up.
Okay, great. Before we get to Skyler's final thoughts and hopes for 9, Brent Robinson said Admiral Akbar, the actor that provided the voice, he actually died in 2016, shortly after the release of The Force Awakens.
Wait, the actor that played Admiral Akbar was named Admiral Akbar?
Yeah. That
amazing coincidence.
Yeah. Yes.
What are the chances? R.I.P. Admiral Akbar.
Also, right as we're wrapping up, whoa, Mike is in the house. Okay. All right, and then
mad at me for making fun of his fiance.
We've gotten the most comments and reactions. Incredible. 31 comments right now. I haven't been able to get to all of them. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't also pod and read comments at the same time. For those I didn't get to, I'm sorry.
This kind of feels like HQ, where it's just a stream of comments. We can't get to them all.
So, all right, Skyler, your final thoughts and also your hopes for episode 9.
I'm very uninterested in episode 9 at this point. Like, could not care less going into it. Like, they've left me so little to care about. Like, Rey, I'll go see it for Rey and Kylo. Like, that's interesting, I guess, but everything else sucks right now. I'm way more excited to see Thor Ragnarok again. Because, Thor Ragnarok is just a great movie. Okay. Who's Michael who is this guy?
It's Hyland, Michael Hyland.
Who is he?
Mortal Enemy.
I don't know who he is. He's just one of our many listeners.
Don't disrespect him. He's a Patreon contributor. He's a
Patreon contributor. He doesn't pay bro. Patreon.
I don't even know who you are.
No, he's one of my best friends.
If I offended your wife or something, get off me.
Yeah. And then thanks, anyway, Brenton Brinkerhoff. Great show. Fun to listen to and be a part of. Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you for your input. Thanks, Brent Robinson.
Don't Michael read the Hyland. Praise, bro. That's what losers
Ryan
do.
Hamblin. I'm cutting through all the criticisms we're getting because we're just getting a ton of criticism. I'm just reading all the praise, much like Ryan Johnson when he's going through the reviews, only liking the positive tweets. I'm kidding. Brian Johnson, one of the best, for me, these are my final thoughts. He has vaulted himself to be one of the great filmmakers. He's on my Mount Rushmore. He directed the heck out of this movie. It's visually one of the most beautiful. Story-wise, this is the Star Wars film we needed to advance these characters so that we were no longer going through. I know we didn't talk about the sequence. Maybe we can talk about it in a future pod. But in my final thoughts, I will mention when Rey goes into that pit in the dark side and she sees just a repeating part of herself and echoes as she snaps her fingers and as she moves her hands, there's a meta commentary that I interpreted as to say that, and she says in the scene, I should have been afraid, but I wasn't. I went down there I went down there for something because it offered me something. And what it offered her was Star Wars movie after Star Wars movie that's more of the same, more of the exact same, just the same principles, the same thing, more Force Awakens, the same. And that was what the dark side offered her, was movies that are they're echoes of each other over and over and over like poetry. But this film wasn't going to be that. Wasn't going to be what the dark side offered. It was going to be something new and something different. And it was going to make people like Skyler and Aaron uncomfortable. I think with time, you guys are going to come around. I think the world that, you know, will come around. The world already loves it. But the few dissenters will come around. And I'm excited for them to do that. This is a film that's brilliant. And it will be remembered as one of the great masterpiece Star Wars films. So My hope in 9 is just... that J.J. Abrams doesn't undo all the great good thing, you know, all the great things that Rian Johnson
Would
did.
Would you love that, though, if he came around and just, you know, shut down everything Rian did? Because that's fun. Cause that's what Rian
no, I think he can. I think he can build upon it by taking it in a new direction. But don't revert back to things that we've already seen before. That's what I don't want to see. So.
Yeah, let's just talk about that that repeating sequence real quick. Okay. I liked it the first time I saw it in The Matrix. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, The Matrix.
Oh, boom. Burn.
Okay.
Hey, to Michael, I think I do remember. I think I might have called his wife out for being a bigot or something.
Oh, okay.
Sorry that you guys
she's not a bigot.
The orange buffet.
His wife's a great, no she's Facebook a great drama. She's a great person. One of my favorite people. Even if
who just hates gays.
She's one of my favorite people. Anyway, listen. Coming up on the Brave Little Podcast, we have a review of The Disaster Artist, the James Franco, Tommy Wiseau film. Tommy Wiseau? Wiseau? I don't know how to say it. How do you say
Wiseau.
It?
Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau. Tommy Wiseau. Also, we're going to do our top 10 films of 2017. This is my favorite pod every year, especially when we get listener feedback. So if you're watching this live or even after the fact, we do this every year where we rank our 10 favorite films of the year. That's going to be coming up here very shortly. But we also read listener lists. So please comment here. Direct message me on Facebook. If you go to on Twitter, Brave Little Pod, tweet us your top 10 films of 2017. We will read it on that pod. Also, let us know your take on The Last Jedi. Did you love it like I did? Did you hate it like Skylar and Aaron did? Or did you really, really hate it like Skylar did? I would love to hear where you agree and disagree. All reactions are welcome. And last but not least, we broke our record for most engagement on a Facebook Live pod. 40 comments, 9 reactions. Well done, boys. Any other final thoughts?
I hope that we get a top 10 list of favorite movies from Thick Wife Guy again, because I really enjoyed that last year.
Can we revisit that list?
All right. We usually have a phrase that we say at the end of these things. It's hold on to your butts from Jurassic Park. But I want to say may the force be with you. Wow. May the force be with you. Can we do that? Or is that cheesy?
Let's try it.
All right. As we say,
may the force be with you.
Oh, great.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Little Podcast. Hold on to your butts.